Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. So glad you are joining us today. Congratulations, you've made it to Friday. And as we get started, I want to share with you a great verse that was shared with me on Facebook. Sandra Graham, she writes in with Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with, get this, with all your heart. I don't know if God has been silent in your world. I don't know if you haven't been able to really tune into his frequency or not. But sometimes it's because we're not seeking him with all our heart. So as an encouragement to start this show, I'd love to encourage you to take a look into your life, your relationship with Christ, and are you seeking him with all your heart? Very good reminder from Sandra Graham on Facebook. Of course, you can stay connected with me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter on Chris Brown On Air. And hey, listen, make sure you take time this weekend to check out stewardship.com and sign up to attend Financial Peace University class. Of course, I've been telling you that I was going to be starting my class, but I started it. It was last Tuesday on the 19th. It was absolutely incredible. I definitely recommend it to all of you as well. Classes are forming now all over the country, and they want those classes are going to help you with your finances and get them in order in 2016. Of course, this is your show where you call in and we answer your questions about finances and about other areas in life, relationships. And sometimes you guys just call in and give a comment or two, or maybe even a testimony of how God's working in your life. The phone number is 866-357-3283. Again, it's 866-357-3283. And as always, you can email in as well at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Our first call today comes in from Dallas, Texas. This is Brad. Brad, how are you?
Very good, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, I just had a quick question. Here in North Texas, we've gotten a little over 100 inches of rain over the course of last year, and with the drought that we had that preceded that, we pretty much ruined my foundation on my house, to where I've got a pier and beam home that's 60 years old, and it's pushing through the flooring to where, I mean, it's almost unlivable for me and my children. My question is, we had someone come out yesterday, and we have a few more people coming, but the cheapest bid I've had so far is $16,000. My wife has a IRA from a previous job, and we just got the statement in the mail the other day for $24,000. And I was wondering if it would be smart to go ahead and cash that in to get the foundation fixed. Homeowners insurance doesn't cover it here in Texas with foundation problems.
Wow. And that's wild that you're – insurance doesn't cover damages to your house. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, I know. It's just with the shifting soils in Texas and the clay, they don't do it. I haven't found any that do it.
Wow, wow. So when you say unlivable,
at any point in time, it could, you know, rip through the floor to where the water underneath the house. I mean, we're already starting to get gnats. You know, it's going to have, you know, possibly mold and everything else.
Wow. Do you have any savings at all, Brad?
You know, 2015 was a rough year. We had about $8,000, and then we had car problems, along with a minor surgery for my son that kind of cashed us out. And so we've got still about $1,200 in savings.
Okay. Do you have any consumer debt?
No. Only thing we have is a car note and then a house payment.
Okay. What's your income, Brad?
My income after taxes is about $4,000 a month.
Okay.
Right at about $60,000 after taxes.
Okay. And is there any opportunities to maybe work a second job or a part-time job?
I'm actually in two full-time jobs right now. I work as a paramedic, 24 on, 48 off, and then I work 36 hours a week at a hospital, so it's another full-time job where I carry the insurance on my family.
Okay. And do you have any other investments that aren't retirement investments, but maybe some mutual funds or something?
No, sir, not at this time. We hadn't gotten to that point yet in our baby steps.
Okay. Well, what I'd want, you know, of course, what I'd want you to do is to exhaust all other estimates that you could probably get. And it's good that you've been diligent about that and insurance possibilities. I don't know if you can maybe go back to them, see what you can do. It sounds like you've been pretty extensive with your research, but I would definitely work to save for this. I know it's hard for me to feel the unlivable, you know, nature of this. But for me, the cost is way too high to pull from retirement funds, because you're not just going to be paying, you're pulling $24,000. And then, of course, with your taxes and your penalties, it's going to be right about $16,000 probably. You're not, that's not what you're pulling. What you're pulling is hundreds of thousands of dollars later, depending on your age. So if I were to ask you, would you pay $100,000 of your own money to fix this? You would probably say no. And that's the reason why I'd want you to go another. I'd rather you go through the agony and the pain of and the sacrifice of living in this a little bit longer and saving for it, cutting your budget, whatever you got to do to not pull from this. I just really don't like you giving up the opportunity cost and the compound interest of this, and of course the penalties and the taxes over the years. So if you're asking for me to say, yeah, it's okay, I really don't like that, but I do have a lot of empathy for your situation.
Sure. Some of the other avenues that we've seen as a possibility, one that came out where they were quite a bit higher, they were able to finance it. You know, I just really wasn't wanting to go in further into debt. I only had the two things on consumer debt. Would that be something that you would recommend in an emergency situation?
Yeah, you know, it's not. That's not either. For me, it's just it's going to be a little bit more work. It's going to be a little bit more sacrifice. It's going to be pinching pennies, and it's going to have to be being patient. I really do understand the urgency. Please don't hear that I'm being cold about this. I just really don't. I stick to the scriptures on the borrowing piece, and I just know the power of compound interest. And I'm just, for your family's sake, I really don't want you to pull from that retirement. All right, Brad. Well, we appreciate the call, and I pray that you know, your conversations with the insurance companies, that something breaks through there. But I know that God honors diligence, and only you know how hard you've worked to kind of crack that insurance barrier. But if there's some some more rocks that can be unturned, I definitely would encourage you to do that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. Next on the line, we have from New York City. We've got Matt calling in. Matt, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I help you?
I had a question on the for budgeting using the cash envelope system. Just curious what your take on was on how you kind of are sacrificing maybe reaping the benefits of a cash back reward like credit card. Like, I know for me, you know, over the course of a year, I can get close to $1,000 in cash back if I'm doing that. But then the other side of it is that I can't really manage all the charges and whatnot and actually stick to the budget. So it's kind of a catch 22, I guess you might say.
Good question. And I'm glad you're asking it, because really what you're doing is you're challenging our philosophy on the air. And I love it, because I just love getting questions like this out in the open. Because there are, you know, if you were just to look at it from just the way you worded it, from the outside looking in, and just see, hey, why would you want to give up rewards? It's a very valid question. And so many of our listeners have probably asked this question before. But let me break this down a little bit further than the obvious. If you think about golf and you think about basketball, and I'm sorry about the sports analogy for those of you that don't follow sports, but, the idea in golf is to score as low as possible. And the idea in basketball is to score the most amount of points possible. So one, you've got the lowest, and one, you've got the most. And it's really just two different frames of mind. One of them you want to, you know, and if you take this to finances, it's one philosophy is to spend the least, and the other one is to spend the most. And what's the problem with the rewards thing is it subconsciously, and I know everyone would deny it, those that take advantage of rewards, including probably you, that it entices you to spend more. I'm $10 away from that big break where I'm going to get the $10 back, or I'm going to get the $20 back. It encourages you to spend more. So let's break this down to $100. If you're paying $100, let's say in groceries, to get $5 off, that's crazy when you could have spent $80 in the first place if you had the different mindset. It is absolutely proven, research, not just from our company, but from all over the place, that people spend over 20% more with plastic. So the rewards, I know you're saying $1,000, but I would hate to know how much you spent to get that $1,000. So right. I'm just of the philosophy that we want to drive, like if you're driving a car, you want to drive proactively looking through the windshield. That's what the windshield's there for. Not reactively driving down the road in one direction, looking through the rearview mirror and paying all of your bills after you've spent the money. So even if you pay them off every month, I just don't get that. And of course, the scriptures are clear about this, about the borrower being slave to the lender, and Romans 13:8 saying, owe no man anything except the debt to love one another. And so it's just don't owe anyone anything. So, you know, that's the challenge there. If you don't like the envelope system, of course, you can do it digitally. You can do it with different accounts in your, you know, you don't have, you can do it through Every Dollar, our site for budgeting tools. So you don't have to carry around all the envelopes if you don't want to. But the bottom line is that when you spend cash, you spend less. It's visceral. You can feel it. So that's kind of the philosophy behind it. Does none of that make sense, Matt?
Yeah, no, it definitely helps to see it from another kind of point of view.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, we appreciate you calling in from New York City. We absolutely love New York City. We go up there all the time for Fox and Friends. I don't know if you live close to there, but when we go up there, me and Rachel and Hogan and Christy Wright, we absolutely love it. And, of course, Dave Ramsey as well. But so anyway, we love your city. If we're ever up there again, we'll try to make sure we put it on social and maybe we can connect.
Yeah, great. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Matt. All right, folks, again, you can call in or you can email in. And this email comes in from Tatiana. She says, I'm 25 with $42,000 in student loans, $10,000 in collections, and an $18,000 car loan. And I make $40,000 a year. I'm a single mother and I get my first income tax check this year. And I want to know, where should I apply it? I need help. Folks, what would you tell her? You know, this is where Financial Peace University and the baby steps, where they help so much, because you've got this web of a situation, and Financial Peace University can help with this, with the baby steps. And I would just say, Tatiana, first you want to talk with your HR team and one of your, you know, our tax professional, and one of our endorsed local provider tax professionals, which is what we'd recommend. You can find out more about our ELPs, our endorsed local providers, at stewardship.com. But you want to make sure that you're not getting a tax refund. You don't want that, because then, you know, you didn't get the opportunity to be able to leverage that money throughout the year. The government did. So you don't want any kind of tax refund. You don't want that. You want to make sure you get your money as soon as you can get your money, and then you put it to work. You know, a lot of folks, you know, miss that. So here's how you once you get it, okay, because you are getting one this year, you want to make sure you have $1,000 in the bank. I don't know how much this amount of money is, but you want to have $1,000 in the bank. That's baby step one in Financial Peace University. You want to put it in a money market account. Now, if that's taken care of, you already have $1,000 in a money market account. You first of all want to sell that car. You want to sell that car and use the money you're getting from your tax refund to pay for the difference when you go, if you're upside down on it, and to buy a new beater, like maybe a $1,000 car. And that's going to remove probably a $300 or $400 payment out of your life. And then you're going to attack your smallest debt first. And then you're going to begin the debt snowball that comes from baby step two in Financial Peace University. So that's what I would do with the money. And once you got all your debt taken care of course, you get into building that emergency fund to 3 to 6 months of monthly expenses. But Tatiana, very good question. And I would just say, be encouraged, Mom. You are a hero. Single moms have got a special place in my heart. I know. I was raised by a single mom. I know how much work it takes. And I just want you to be encouraged. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And Tatiana, I want this show to be an encouragement to you that you're doing a great job. And man, major kudos to you single moms out there. You guys are heroes and you're doing awesome. Again, folks, you know, you see how FPU and Financial Peace University helped Tatiana right there. And if you're a regular listener to this show or to this podcast, you've heard us share some incredible stories recently from our coordinators who lead Financial Peace University. Let me ask you, what could your story be? What could you overcome by signing up for Financial Peace University? Your story could be maybe paying off the debt that you've carried for many years, like Tatiana, saving in case of an emergency, or starting to invest for your retirement. Financial Peace University will help you meet your goals. I know it's helped Holly and I tremendously. If you've been listening to the show and know you need to get in a class, now's the time. Don't wrestle with it any longer. Financial Peace University will help you meet your goals. No matter where you are in your story, I'm currently enrolled and I'm in a great place financially. No matter where you're at, this is the year to get your finances in order or more in order. Go to stewardship.com to sign up for Financial Peace University class today.
If you have a question you'd like to ask Chris, email him at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or you can call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Let's continue now with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
I got another email here from Bonnie. She says, my daughter has a car on lease. Oh, folks, everyone just go, oh, with me. We don't like that, do we? Car on lease. The lease is up soon. She has exceeded the mileage and therefore will want to purchase the car. My question is, should she go to the dealer and see if she can get out of the lease and purchase the vehicle? Will she be doing a better deal this way, or should she wait until the lease is up and purchase the vehicle then? Of course, Bonnie, I don't know how much, you know, is left on this lease. That's kind of difficult for me, but I'm not sure of your financial position, but get out of the lease as soon as possible at the least amount of cost as possible. And when those two things intersect, that's when you pull the trigger. That's when you get out of that lease, but you got to get out of the thing as soon as possible. And, you know, Bonnie, if I were you and coming out of this mistake, here's what I would do. I would not buy that vehicle. I would cut my losses. I would buy a beater. I would drive that thing until I break even and I make up for my mistake. And I'd try to sacrifice. And folks, I'm using the word sacrifice very lightly here. This is kind of like a first world problem here. But using that term lightly, we try to sacrifice and try to make up for the mistake. I wouldn't want to compound that mistake by continuing on with this car. You possibly could make up for all that loss if you drove that car forever. But bottom line is the research shows that we don't drive cars forever. We just don't as human beings. So you're probably not. So a lot of times we lie to ourselves. We're going to live in this house forever. Or we're going to drive this car forever. And the bottom line is very, very few of us do. So folks, that brings up a common question that I get a lot. How much is too much car? Have you ever asked yourself that? Is this too much car? And a general rule of thumb that I like to tell people is that you don't want your car's total amount of car values to be more than 50% of your household income. So if your household income is, say, $50,000 a year, which is the average income in America, you don't want your total amount of cars, one car or three cars, all together to be more than 25 grand. Now, of course, you can drive around town much cheaper than that for those of you that have got some intense goals, but don't ever exceed that regardless of what your goals are, okay? So that would be way too much car, over 50% of your household income. So many of you have asked that question and thought I would tackle that right there. Again, the number is 866-357-3283. Again, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. And next on the line from Atlanta, Georgia, we've got Rodney. Rodney, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How can I help you?
I had a quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I've recently gotten into the Dave Ramsey, had my Total Money Makeover book, and I was actually reading last night, and it falls in line with my question about if I have my $1,000 saved up, ready to go, you're not supposed to keep it in the house, but make it available just in case you need it. I came across an online savings account with Discover, and they offer a 0.95 APY interest. I was wondering, is that a good place to put it? And then, but of course, I read the book last night, and that exact chapter said it doesn't matter if it matches or not. I wanted to get it here from you guys and know if that's a good idea or a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just personally would stick with a FDIC-insured, well-known traditional bank with convenient locations and online banking. For me, that's just the way I'm wired. Is there anything wrong with keeping it with an online account? For sure, there's not. For me, I have a tough time putting money in Discover. Like, I don't know. It's like, in my mind, I'm like, Discover, I equate with credit cards. I think the Discover needs to discover who they are. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just, for that's just me.
Yeah.
But I would just stick with one of the traditional banks. That's just me. But the difference between 0.7% and 0.89%, it doesn't really matter. And really, you're looking at that $1,000 is not an investment. It's insurance. If something happens in your life, you're self-insured for an emergency up to $1,000. It's not really, you're not looking for that $1,000 to become $1,100. You're just not. It's just $1,000 for insurance. Now, as you work through the baby steps, you want to get to the point fast where you're full-fledged investing into long-term growth stock mutual funds and growth stock. You want to, you know, make sure your Roth IRAs and your 401ks, but this $1,000 is really just insurance. I would more go for when you're talking about your banking, and if you're in an emergency, what would be the most convenient way to get money? And for me, that's the FDIC insured, well-known traditional banks with those convenient locations. So that's just me, Rodney.
Okay. Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
You know, I just heard when I was waiting, I heard about the cars. I'm actually upside down on my car, but I get my tax refund. It's supposed to be a substantial amount this year because I bought my first place last year.
Uh-huh.
Should I throw all that at the car? And that way I'll free up my payment.
Do you have other debt?
Like my last credit card. I have a credit card, which has about $2,600 on it, and I have student loans, like every normal person, I guess.
What do you make a year, Rodney?
51.
Okay. If I was in your spot, okay, and I'm thinking through all the baby steps and I'm trying to get there as soon as possible, for what I'd get out of that car, get out of that car first and foremost, and I would drive around a beater, and then I would start attacking your smallest credit card first, your smallest debt. No, it might not be a credit card, but maybe something else, but your smallest debt first. But I would get out of the car because I'd want to get out of the payments and free up that money to pay off all my other debt.
Okay.
Now, if it's only a $5,000 car and you get your $3,000 up down, you need to think about that. You know, how much is the car?
Last time I checked on KBB, it was worth $37,000, and I owe $86,000 on it.
It's $3,700.
That's what it said it's worth. Yeah.
Oh, so you're really upside down on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Miles on it.
Yeah, I think at this point, with your tax refund, I'm glad I asked that because I would attack your. I'd get rid of all your other debt. And I would make that car work. I don't know if you can make that. I mean, it's not really, it's not for $51,000 what you're making a year. It's not too much car for you. What I would do is I would take care of your smallest debt first, put it in your debt snowball in order, and take care of it that way.
Okay.
All righty.
All right.
Thank you so much for the call, Rodney. All right, folks. I'm glad I asked that extra question because that's really upside down. And really, if he drives that around, you know, for 4, 5, 6, 7 more years, then it won't be nearly as devastating as it sounded today. But I'm glad he asked that extra question. Got a really encouraging email here from Marcy. It says, just want to say how much I enjoy listening to the radio broadcast every day on my way home from work. You are such a blessing to so many people. And I just want to say, folks, that is so humbling. And we are so honored here at Raymond Solutions to serve you in this way. And many of you have been emailing in and asking how you can donate or support the show, and which has really been wild to me. But folks, there's no need to donate. There's no need to send in money support. This is really just serving you. The way that you can support this show, okay, is to subscribe to the podcast. It's to write reviews on the podcast. It's to maybe buy a Financial Peace University kit for someone else if you've already been through it or you're going, or invite people to classes to spread the word about stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. If we can spread this message that's so important, that's the way that you support this show and support this message. So again, don't wait any longer to sign up for Financial Peace University at stewardship.com. This is your chance to get a plan for your money in 2016. And while you're at stewardship.com, sign up for the weekly newsletter of helpful tips and articles to get your year started off right. Have a great weekend. God bless you.